Blog Talk Radio.
Taking that
tooth, I see a Lamborghini fast lane, yeah. In the fast lane, in the fast lane. Going too fast in the fast lane.
Welcome to a brand new show. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com today. Check out their great line of outdoor apparel, also customizable outdoor apparel. Be sure to check their website today. They've got great deals on great clothing, more than just clothing. They've got accessories as well. Shoes, hats, umbrellas, anything you can think of, whether you're going hunting, fishing, or just a day at the beach, check out hardcorefishinggame.com today. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. I know we are battling the first week of the NFL season, Thursday night football. Week one kicks off tonight between the Lions and the Chiefs. I know, poor planning on my part, but you get what you get. We will be right here till 10 p.m. Barberstall Shave phone lines will also be open until 10 p.m. as well. We'll talk about the NFL season getting kicked off tonight, our show, Fantasy League. We will talk about NASCAR, the first race of the 2023 playoffs kicked off Sunday at Darlington. We'll talk about that, what our league looks like for that as well. And plus, don't go anywhere. You want to stick around because later in the show, we will get our custom swag sublimation penalty box pick from Christina. We'll find out who is spending the next week in the penalty box. All that coming up tonight, right here, live on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network and only from the 357 Woodwork Studios. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show. Let's go!
I know you know this, sing it with me.
Oh, positivity. Oh, welcome to the show. That's Christina's favorite song. She loves Ohio State, people. She
wow.
Girl.
Wow.
She loves them as much as I do. I'm just kidding, people. She is not a Buckeyes fan at all. We don't have enough time. We would need a six-hour show for her to chastise me right now for saying that even. But, no.
I don't think there's enough time in the day to chastise you for what you just said.
Christina is a Pennsylvania girl, so she is far from Ohio State fan. I'm not a Ohio State fan either. I just wanted to play that song because college football did kick off this past Saturday as well. Christina, we've got Major League Baseball. We've got the NFL starting tonight. We've got NASCAR playoffs just started. College football just started this past Saturday. We've got high school football that has kicked off now. Ohio's in its third week, going into week four already of a high school football. We've got hockey and basketball. Those are going to be starting up before we know it. We've got almost every major sport going on right now, Christine. It's crazy. There's so much sports going on. I'll tell you what, though. The BW3s, the Quaker Steak and Lubes, the bars, they are loving this time of year with all of the sports, everybody coming out during the week.
Oh, yeah, preseason.
Just the weekend.
Preseason NHL starting, too.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, if you're a sports fanatic, September, it just makes your head explode because you don't know which way to go. Which TV do you watch? Thank you for tuning in tonight. I know, once again, I understand I picked a bad night. We are rivaling Thursday night football. But it's the Lions and the Chiefs. The Lions, they suck, and nobody likes the Chiefs. So I'm not really worried about our competition. No, I know tonight the NFL season gets kicked off tonight. Thursday night football kickoff, I believe, is like 8:20, whatever. Okay. So week one starting tonight, we got almost everybody submitted their picks for the league. Jeremy did send me his pick, so don't worry, Debbie, Christina, all you people. Jeremy did get his pick in, so... he made his pick for tonight. He picked the Chiefs. I think just about everybody did. But, yes, Jeremy got his pick in. Most everybody did. I think there's only two people that did not get their picks in yet. I mean, really,
how?
still got about 7 minutes,
oh
I guess.
Who didn't get their picks in?
Craig's wife, Erin, she didn't get them in yet. Which she's probably busy. I get it. But I tried to put that post up there today, you know, kind of hinting – without saying, hey, everybody get your picks in.
Oh,
you know, hey, first game is tonight, 8:20 kickoff, blah, blah, blah. But, no, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a good year, though, still. Even if you miss a week or so, you got a chance.
You can't miss a week.
Well,
guys,
you know, it is what it is. Hey, it's good for you. It's good for you.
But at one of these points in time, all of y'all are going to be in a penalty box. At one of these points in time. Rosie people.
We've got, I think we're going to have a pretty good penalty box tonight. We've got that coming up, though. Let's not,
it's a pretty
let's
full
not
box.
Put, yeah, let's not put that out there just yet. We do have some dirt racing to talk about, and we have the racer chasing apparel talking dirty to get to.
You know what else is going on right now?
Oh, the county fairs all across
weekend.
The ooh,
yeah.
See?
The Juniata County Fair is going on. I'm not home to get my goddamn pretzel. Not home to get my freaking pizza from the fair stand. I'm not home to get my deep fried Oreos. You know.
Hey, I've said it before.
And I'm not home for the Tuscarora 50, which is it sucks. But
just
nonetheless, I moved to Florida.
Just tell Jim, look, this is the plan from now on. In April, I'm moving to the north, and I'll be back about October, November when it gets cold. Just, you know, I'll be back.
I'm pretty sure Toyota would not like that.
Just tell them you need to take FMLA, and it just happens to be every year in April till about October when you start to feel better. That's all. That's all you gotta do. Just take FMLA. They're not allowed to ask. Hey, it's medical. I gotta take off for medical.
I'm fairly certain I would lose my job.
I've got doctor friends. We'll get you doctor notes written up and everything. You'll be good. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Oh, man. This is my favorite time of the year for that reason. I miss county fairs. You know, Florida doesn't do – well, Florida has fairs, but they don't they need to go north to see what an actual fair is supposed to be like, I think. But, no, there's a lot going on. There's a lot. We're in California for, you know, the War of Outlaws. We've got Pennsylvania Racing for the Tuscarora 50, which is well started tonight. Let's see. I'm pretty sure you didn't watch the race. So I'm pretty sure you missed it. But Wayne County was spoke about on national television.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was brought up when the lights went out.
The lights went out at Darlington?
Oh, yeah. There was a section of turn three. They didn't have lights. And, like, half the field was bitching that they couldn't see. The other half of the field was like, oh, it's fine. This is how we use the race. And they went to Kyle Larson's radio. Kyle Larson's like, well, I've raced it, you know, I've raced the sprint car in in this kind of lighting. He's like, it's no different. And then all of a sudden that I'm hearing Wayne County Speedway. I'm like, what? I had to rewind it twice to make sure that's the speedway I heard. So they were comparing Darlington to Wayne County. And, I didn't think Wayne County's lighting was like off or anything by the means of sprint car racing, but he compared like how Darlington's lights were at the time to Wayne County, which it wasn't even bad. I didn't even realize the light section of lights in the infield. Now, not where the stands are, like not the big Musco lighting, but, you know, the smaller Musco lighting they have on the inside, closer to, like, the pits and stuff. Some of those lights in turn three went out.
Oh, wow.
It took them, I don't know, it took them so many fucking laps to get the shit back together. You know, it was all set up so we didn't have to run all of Darlington under green. But, but yeah, so Wayne County got some national TV time thanks to Kyle Larson and comparing the lighting situation, which, I mean, Musco lighting is used now at dirt tracks as well. So, I mean, a lot of tracks have it. It's one of the best lightings you can have, but don't fret, folks. The lighting's going to go out somewhere at some point. I'm pretty sure, Homestead lights went out. We had partial blackout at Homestead, but it also rained like a mother for like 6 hours prior to the race, too, so that didn't help either. But, yeah, lots of racing.
Well, that's
West
that's
Coast
awesome.
Swing for the Outlaws.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They are currently on the West Coast, and we will talk about their little West Coast swing. In fact, the California boys are kind of paving the way through a couple of the races, but you've also got some East Coasters that are showing how to get it done on the West Coast as well. First race on the West Coast was the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. That was a 3-day event there at Skagit Speedway in Burlington, Washington, Christina. And to kick off night one, speaking of the East Coast, Mr. Sheldon Howdenshield showing the West Coasters how to get it done and doing it. I had to go to a different web browser just to get the updated. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Outlaws.
What is going on with the Outlaws website? Did they fire somebody again?
I've got the
I'm on Google Chrome, which is what I use for everything, and it's still saying the next scheduled race is August 31st.
I had to
go to Safari. I fucking hate Safari.
I had to go to Safari to get the current thing. But Sheldon Houdenfield does win the race. Now, of course, on the results page, they're showing them still running. So I don't know. They might still be running. I don't know. He's got a 0.3-second lead.
What the hell is going on with their website? Okay, they fired somebody. Point blank, somebody got fired. And they don't know how to update the website.
So Sheldon Houdenfield getting the win, coming from 16th place to get the win, beating out Brad Sweet and Giovanni Scelzi to get the win night one at Skagit Speedway. So then we go to night two, and we
Don't mind me. I've got to use the stupid shit that I don't like. I got to catch up. Keep going. I'm trying to catch up. Don't mind me.
Sheldon Houdenfield getting on the podium for night two. But Rico Abreu is the class of the field this night. He led all 30 laps, and he started
big shocker, California kids starting to pull through.
Started second, finished first. David Gravel actually started on the pole, finished fifth. So no podium for David Gravel, although he did have a lot better of a run than Brad Sweet, not by much, but he did finish above Brad Sweet. But Rico Abreu getting the win on night two. And speaking of Mr. Brad Sweet, he wins the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals finale race, beating out Corey Day and James McFadden. James McFadden getting on the podium in night three. Brad Sweet led 28 of the 35 laps. Not a good night
for
Sheldon.
Beach Boys showed up.
Sheldon had a DNF that night. Started second.
Ooh.
Only got about 22 laps in. So what happened?
Did he have a tire? Like, did he have a tire go down? Did he lose a motor? Did I finally jinx somebody into losing a motor?
After running up front of feature, but getting upside down, Sheldon Houdenfield was given the Smith Titanium Brake System break of the race. So he wrecked. He did. Don't sound so
upset.
He's okay.
I'm not upset.
He's okay. She's just
upset
that he didn't blow an engine.
No, I'm glad nobody's blown an engine, because then you can clearly tell that I'm bad luck. I mean, well, I'm not bad luck, but... I mean, I shouldn't say that. Let's be honest. How many times in the past have I had a driver on the show a night before our Friday night race? Like, because we used to do Thursdays a lot, remember? Thursdays used to be the Sling and Dirt show. There's nothing wrong about doing a show on a Thursday. We used to do it for years. And we actually would have several drivers on. Once upon a time. I mean, we could probably still do it. It's a lot more work now. It's harder with me not being there. But every time I had one of the 358 guys on or whatever, some sprint car guys, guess where we ended up Friday night or Saturday night? We ended up in Victory Lane. I don't know how many times that actually happened, but it happened quite a lot, especially with some of the 358 guys. And then it became this thing where everybody thought that they had to be on the show just so they could win. I mean, it's high. What the hell is that? That's intentional grounding if I ever seen it in my life, and they didn't call it. Okay, I got to stop. Oh, boy. Take back over the show, Pete.
All right,
this is the fastest three and out I've ever seen in my life.
Three nights of racing at Skagit Speedway in Burlington, Washington, and we had three different winners, Sheldon Houdenfield, Rico Abreu, and Brad Sweet. Getting back on top of the podium, though, it didn't take him long. There at Grays Harbor Raceway in Elma, Washington, getting a win. Mr. Logan Shuhart getting his sixth win, to be precise, of the season, Christina. But you look at the points and you're like, golly. I think Brad Sweet is running away with the points officially. There's no denying it now. I know there's still a little bit of racing to go before we get to World Finals.
A little bit. Pete, there's like a month and a half of racing left.
I know, but every week we come on to do this show and that lead just keeps getting 30 points bigger.
Yeah, it does.
30 points bigger. David Gravel has gotten back.
I don't know how to throw shade at this because, I mean, I want Gravel to win. Because yeah. I just don't want Brad Sweet to get a points another one. I mean, I think he's turning into this generation's Donnie Schott, in my opinion. So Brad is.
He is so hard to beat. So hard. What is he?
Donnie Schott is what it is.
What's he got? Four? He's won the last 4 years.
Three or four. He took over. As soon as Donnie Schott stopped winning the title, it's been nothing but Brad Sweet. I just think it's time. Time to pass the torch. We need another guy. David Gravel's just got to pull his head out of his hoo-ha or something. I mean,
where does Brad Sweet go from here? I mean, he's at the top. There is no place else for him to
go back to NASCAR?
No. I don't think he wants to do that.
No, I don't think so. I think he's happy with what he's doing. Well, he should be because, I mean, he has the World of Outlaws title. Well, first place right now, he does not have the title. It's only a little less than 100-point lead. Anything could happen. He could lose a motor the next three races. And then, you know, he also has High Limits, which is him and his brother-in-law, pet project. So, I mean, there's a lot going on for him. He's doing a lot of cool things, and it's still weird calling them related. But, I mean, they are related for marriage, but they are related. But him and Kyle Larson are doing great things with High Limits, too. So, I mean, Brad Sweet has – I don't think there's anywhere else for Brad Sweet to go. Brad Sweet has crested and is at the top of the mountain. I don't know. I don't think you could go anywhere else. Unless he wants to try trucks or some shit like that, but I've never really heard him have interest in going there again.
Yeah, I just don't see him leaving the World of Outlaws. I mean, he's got it good. He's got a great team. He's got a great owner. You can't deny that. And obviously, his owner doesn't want to see him go either.
I don't think you'll ever see that
winning.
Part ways.
I really don't. You never know.
I don't see it going anywhere.
Look at the drivers that have left their teams this year. Did you ever think you'd see any of that? Danny Dietrich, I mean, any of these guys that have left the teams that they were with, did you ever think you'd see that? I mean, anything can happen. Let's say the High Limits just takes off.
Well, I mean, if it does, good for him, and I don't think Casey Kane would stop him, but I also think Casey Kane's going to make it as lucrative as possible to keep his honeypot in the car. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anyone has had that much success in a KKR car. Ooh, he got leveled. In such a long time. And thinking back of it, I can't remember a time when he wasn't in a KKR car. Like, it's been a long time. He's been there for quite some time. He was there when I toured the shop at Charlotte. The year we did the NASCAR All-Star weekend, and I did that. I don't know why you guys talked me into a charity golf tournament. I will never do that again. But that same week, and we did the tournament and everything, we got to tour KKR. I mean, it's a great facility. It's probably one of the coolest state-of-the-art sprint car shops you could have. It, like, literally looks like it reminds me of Penske's shop, minus all the fun IndyCar and NASCAR stuff in it. You know, it mirrors kind of like the Penske shop, which I got to go in there, which most people don't get to go in certain parts of the Penske shop. Was I allowed to take pictures? No. No. They highly prohibit that. But, no, I was not going to risk that shit. I'm not going to risk a ban. I was, you know, I was a good child that day. But I got to go into the indie side of the shop, which usually you don't get to go see. So that was cool. But either way, I don't know. Brad Sweet's at the top. I don't know. Where? I don't think there's anywhere else to go.
No.
Unless he wants
to do
his own team. But who the hell wants that kind of headache?
Right. And I don't think,
that's a headache.
You know, obviously neither one of them want to leave the other, I'm sure. But, again, you never know what could happen or what might come down the road. But as far as the results of the Grays Harbor Raceway there in Alma, Washington, Logan Schuchart leading 29 of the 30 laps.
Domination.
Logan started on the pole, finished first. Brad Sweet started second, led one lap before Logan took over and led the rest of the race. Winning in pretty dominant fashion by almost 2 seconds over Rico Abreu. So Rico Abreu having a good start to the West Coast swing as well. Brad Sweet having a really good start to it as well. Donnie Schatz, mm-hmm. We just talked about him getting a podium finish there at Grays Harbor Raceway as well, finishing third. So Logan, Rico Abreu, and Donnie Schatz, your podium there. So now we go to Silver Dollar Speedway in Chico. That actually starts tonight. They are racing tonight. It's a 3-day event there in Chico at Silver Dollar Speedway. So another 3-day event for the World of Outlaws. It's the Gold Cup Race of Champions. So if you're in the Chico area, you have a chance to see the World of Outlaws as they slide into California. They'll be there for about a week. They'll be there till next Saturday. They'll wrap up at Placerville, California, before they head back east to Ohio, where they'll run at Eldora and then Sharon before they make a little Pennsylvania swing, and then they'll be gearing up to head down to Charlotte for the world finals. So looking at the points, Christina, as we talked about, yes, Brad Sweet is leading. David Gravel, though, has moved back into second ahead of Carson Macedo, but Brad Sweet still with an 82-point lead over David Gravel. Brad Sweet, 7 wins, 33 top fives, 50 top tens, 50 out of 55 races. Brad Sweet has top 10s in just about every single race. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is called consistency. And that is why they say consistency will win championships. David Gravel, 82 points back, 10 wins, 37 top fives. He's got a few more top fives, but he's got less than Brad Sweet when it comes to top 10s. Carson Macedo in third, 106 points out, 6 wins on the year. Logan Schuchart in fourth, also 6 wins. Logan Schuchart, this is where we draw the line, kind of. You can start to see that line coming in for the championship. Logan Schuchart, 322 points out.
Oh, I think he's definitely can't win the title. I'm a Schuchart fan, but
yeah.
We're too far out. Honestly, you can only go to Macedo and up. You can't really include Schuchart and Salty,
yeah.
You know, in this, because we're already too far. We're too far. It's just if Logan would have had these wins earlier in the year and been better off with it, then, yeah, if he was closer in points. But it's just, he can still climb the ladder, don't get me wrong. Maybe
right.
Get into some, you know, third or something to get a podium at the end of the year. But that's where we're at. I mean, it's going to be, I honestly can't even think to say Macedo, really, unless he starts, they faked the freaking punt and got the first down. Sorry. This is why I can't watch Thursday Night Football.
I'm a few seconds behind you. Stop ruining it.
Oh, my God. Well, are you too? How is it that I ruin it every week for you and Jeremy? What is wrong with, I don't really understand. My bad. I can't help it that my coverage is just that much better than yours. But
evidently. No, you're right, though.
I just think it's going to be Brad, and it's just between Brad and David Gravel. In all honesty, and it's no knock against Macedo. If Macedo wants to be thought about more than an afterthought in this title run, he's got to win the next two, at least.
Yeah.
And the other two have to falter.
Big time, yeah. No,
yeah,
you're right.
Like, somebody has to lose a motor. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way. That's the only way you're going to keep one of those two down. Somebody has to lose a motor. And then at that rate, we're going to know they lost the motor, but they're going to have another one put in by the following week. So, I mean, it's just, you got to hope Lady Luck is on your side.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the points in the championship race, I mean, yeah, you're right. The top three, but definitely this is Brad Sweet's to lose. So he is in total control of the championship right now. You know, so, but.
I think we all picked the wrong team.
But, yeah, so Logan is fourth. Giovanni Scalzi rounds out the top five. Then you got Donnie Schatz, Sheldon Houdenshield, Spencer Baston, Brock Zierfrost, and Robbie Price. That is your top ten. James McFadden.
Are you wearing
right
glasses?
There.
Who? You.
Yeah. I got blue blockers on.
I love it. Oh,
don't you
God.
Like him?
I love it. I love it.
I talk about James every year. One of these years, we're going to be talking about him contending for a championship. But 6 wins on the year. Rico Abreu, 5 wins on the year. How about that? Obviously not in contention for a championship, but Rico proving that he is a winner when it comes to World of Outlaw races with 5 on the year. And again, going right into his home turf right now in California. So he may just expand that 5 wins even more here coming up. So Brad Sweet, 7 wins, not even the most so far on the year. David Gravel with 10 wins on the year. So again, it just hammers out how much and how important consistency is, because, you know, we talk about David Gravel, Carson Macedo, even Logan Schuchart. These guys have 10, 6 wins, but they got them too late. They had too many issues at certain times to where Brad Sweet was just on cruise control. He didn't start getting his wins till later in the year, but he was consistently chipping away top fives and top tens and just racking up the points until it started to matter the most. And now here we are. He has an 82-point lead over David Gravel heading into this 3-day event at Silver Dollar Speedway. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how that goes there before they head back east. Christina, definitely something to look at. You talked about the Tuscora 50 is going
started
weekend.
Today.
Started tonight? Okay.
Yeah,
started
today.
That's a 3-day event?
It turned into a 3-day event. Now, this sucker used to be 1 day, then it turned into 2 days. Now, I think the third year after moving to Florida, like, they decided to make it a 3-freaking-night event, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Another way to, you know, but yeah, so, and that's a All-Star Circuit of Champions event too, actually. So that's going on. Yeah. And that sucker pays out huge. It, obviously, it's called the Tuscarora 50. It used to be $50,000. It has since gone up in price, like, for purse-wise, who wins. I mean, we've seen Dylan Cisney won the Labor Day Classic at Port Royal. Ironically enough, the mayor of Port Royal won the race. I don't even know how he's even an elected official, but I don't know.
Clearly,
the racing community is what's important.
I don't know. I don't mean to cut you off here, but I got some breaking news.
You're fine.
Don't
even tell me.
This was reported earlier or not, or if this is literally just now being released and made public.
Am I
going to
be pissed?
It's NFL news. No, I don't think so.
Oh.
It's NFL news. So the Bengals have reached an agreement with Joe Burrow on a 5-year, $275 million extension. That includes $219 million guaranteed. This makes Joe Burrow the highest player in NFL history, ladies and gentlemen.
And let's just let this sink in. How the hell did you fall down and nobody touched you? God, your team is stupid as hell. He didn't even win the Super Bowl.
He didn't, but I'm not.
Okay, I need to ask. I need to ask, okay, because I'm not from Ohio. Yes, I know there's two teams in Ohio, but we don't speak of the other team. I mean, I don't even know why there's still two teams in Ohio. I don't understand, but whatever. Teach its own. There's still two teams in Pennsylvania, and I clearly don't understand that either. But
it should
just
be the Eagles, but yeah.
Both teams could fall face of the earth for all I care. But holy bananas. Well, I shouldn't watch football while we do a radio show. So how is this possible? How are we, not we, because it's not my money, but, you know, I'm...
Well, because
you know, who else has major? You know, no, I mean, this is no knock against Joe Burrow. I mean, but between the NFL and the NBA, and let's throw the freaking baseball MLB in there too. They have some of the most horrendously high contracts I've ever seen in my entire life.
Player, the
hockey players' contracts and salaries are like chump fucking change to the rest of the shit. Joe Burrow is a quarterback. Mind you, if you hit him, if you lay a finger on him, three quarters of the time, there's going to be a flag and a penalty against your team. I just don't understand it. And a guy who is literally chasing around a puck that can go upwards to 110 miles an hour, if not more, depending on who's taking the shot, because we have registered shot clocks up to like 130 miles an hour on a slap shot. That's going to hurt like a bitch when it hits you, even in padding,
right.
Making roughly $500,000 a year.
No, I agree.
It's
just
some of the most astronomically retarded contracts I've ever seen in my life. And yet people are complaining we're a poor country and shit. Well, this is why. Besides the point, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he did not win a Super Bowl, but just got one giant-ass contract for it.
He did, but let me explain, too, as being a Bengals fan my whole life. Mike Brown has never spent any money on the team since he took over for his dad. Paul Brown's son.
He's an owner,
right? He's the owner. Yeah,
okay.
He's Paul Brown's son.
Boy, you need to learn. I don't know owners in the NFL. You're barely lucky if I remember players' names. Pete, come on now.
When Paul Brown,
my information from you and Jeremy.
So when Paul Brown passed away, Mike Brown took over, and he did not spend money ever. Like, that's why the Bengals were so bad through the 90s and early 2000s. He would not spend money. He started finally spending some money. getting good, decent linemen in the draft, going after key skill position guys in the draft and free agency, spending some money. So to see this is actually very shocking as a Bengals fan because, again, Mike Brown hates to spend money. He doesn't spend money. But since Joe Burrow has come to Cincinnati, I thoroughly believe that he is the reason the team is the way they are because they have built the team around him as far as the receiving and the receivers and the running game is all designed around Joe Burrow, and he has brought this team together to be as good as they are because they've had decent quarterbacks in the past, and you know, they've had some decent teams, but they just never had that full leadership like Joe Burrow. So to pay him to stay, give him that extension is very good. That's good for Cincinnati. Keep him here for a long time. But yeah, I totally agree with you. The money is ridiculous in professional sports. And then, you know, owners are like, well, I don't know why we can't get people in the stadiums. Well, it's because you're paying these guys $200 million a year. So you got to offset that by charging me $100 for a ticket or more to come to one game. So a family of four is going to spend, what, $500 to $800 to $1,000 to go to one professional sporting event, whether it be baseball or football or whatever it might be. That cost gets passed down to the consumer like everything does. So, you know, it is crazy what these athletes are getting paid. And like you said, you know, then you got the hockey NHL guys who are out there literally playing injured and, you know, getting teeth knocked out, and they're making a third of what some of these other guys are making. It is crazy, but it is the world, I guess, that we live in. So, but yeah, breaking news. So the Bengals agree with Joe Burrow to a 5-year extension to, what I say, $275 million, making Joe Burrow the highest paid player in NFL history. Crazy. That is crazy. So yes, no, he did not win a Super Bowl, but he has turned the team around and gotten Cincinnati to the Super Bowl a couple years now. So he has definitely turned things around.
Getting there and winning one is completely different.
He will. He will. He'll get one.
He's not Tom Brady.
He's not, but I think he'll get one. They'll be back. They're gonna be good for.
Does he have arm candy? Does he need arm candy? Like, I don't understand what's going on. I never had to say.
I don't know.
I'm just totally teasing, guys. I'm joking. I could never. I mean. Let's move on to late model racing, please.
Late models. Okay, yeah, we can do late models. They, let's see. Let me get their schedule
here. We have
here.
To. Pete, you know it's the biggest weekend of the year for late models. It's World 100. It started today at Eldora. What is wrong with you? I swear I've taught you nothing about late model racing. I swear.
Listen here, you.
You,
listen here.
Sir, are about to be what Jeremy said.
Wow. All right, go ahead, Miss Late Model. Take it away.
Being called that, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a compliment for me. So, okay. So we were at the beginning of September. We were in Mississippi. We got some racing in for the World of Outlaw Case Construction Late Models. But that's the only thing I want to talk about that is the fact that Bobby Pierce, this crazy bastard, wins at Deer Creek, scoring a $20,000 victory with no breaks. No breaks. No breaks, no problems. Yes. So I don't understand. Totally won with no freaking breaks. Oh, man, craziness. And then thanks to that, he's closing in on that title now. He's you want to talk about somebody with a points lead? I think he's trying to take a page out of the Brad Sweet book here.
Yes, he is.
He's leading the points. Yeah, he's leading the points with way more of a point advantage than Brad Sweet has over Shepherd and Madden. And by the way, they're tied.
They are.
Two drivers that absolutely cannot stand each other and hate each other with a passion are tied for second.
And Brandon Shepherd finally just got his two wins, too.
I don't care about that.
I knew you wouldn't.
You know me. I don't care.
Uh-huh.
So let's get on track of what is happening as we speak. So this is so exciting. This is my favorite time of the year. So we're at World 100 weekend. World 100 is finally here. This is like Christmas for late model racing. Let's just put it that way. So World 100 is it's the biggest dirt race in the world. Obviously why it's called the World 100. It's the 53rd running of the World 100. It is the richest race of the week, you know, the year too. So they're going to race tonight. Yeah, today's the 7th, correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This has an off Monday thing really, really threw me for a loopy. And so we had time trials. We have heat races tonight. We have last chance showdown. And then you're going to have Twin 25, which we used to do in NASCAR. So the Twin 25 lap features, and then they're going to do the same thing tomorrow. Same thing, time trials, heats, last chance, Twin 25. And then we get to Saturday. It's going to be epic. So tonight and tomorrow night is going to set up heat racing points, where you'll sit come heat races and stuff, because come Saturday, there is no time trial. There is only heat races, the B features, maybe a C, depending on what we may have to do, a little alphabet soup. Here, and then you're going to have the $56,000 to win World 100. And yes, folks, 100 laps. Love it. 100 laps of freaking late models. Just saying. And it's cheap if you think about it. So you can get a 3-day pass, a 2-day pass, or you could just go on Saturday. Or you could go, you know, tonight, tomorrow night. You know, pick or choose what you want. Now, this is pit pass pricing, too, by the way, which is not that bad. I mean, general admission is pretty cheap. It's literally $35 a night.
That's not bad.
No. Are you kidding me? For 100 laps of, like, if you only go to Saturday, you're paying $35 for literally what you could equivalate to the Daytona 500 in late model racing.
Right.
It's literally the equivalent of it. And it's at Eldora, which is one of the best racetracks in the world. If you want to be in the pits, like is where we usually are, where we're always at almost constantly, it's $135 for the 3-day pass. Now, that's cheap, too. If you're thinking about 3 days, if you go all 3 days, you're saving money by getting the pass for the pit. You had the ball and you dropped it. That's a shame. So, yeah, this is the greatest. Man, I don't know. I love it. It's exciting. If you want, I can. There is literally the entry list for this is freaking crazy. I love it. This is like, you know how you look over like entry lists for like, I don't know, like the Indy 500, and you see like some serious crazy names on there. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I guess we could say the same for Daytona, I guess, too. Sometimes you get some weird stuff on there. Now, you know, Bobby Pierce right now is DirtOnDirt.com's top-ranked driver of the world right now. So So that's a prestigious thing in itself. He's going. He's also won this race. He's the 2016 winner of this race. Tim McCready is the 2018 winner of this race. There's crazy. So the people that have rolled the World 100 in the last 6 years, we've seen Bobby Pierce, I said, Tim McCready, right? And then you're going to get to Big Sexy. He's won this race before. He's one of the six winners in the past, staying back since 2015. Of course he is going to enter. I don't know why anyone didn't think that Brandon Overton would not be there. Brandon Overton just reeks of money. Are we kidding me? Come on now. Jonathan Davenport obviously is going to be there, is there as well. There's, it's so crazy. Ricky Thornton Jr., he's in position. This could be Ricky Thornton's year. We'll see. I said that I feel like I always jinx him when I bring him up. I don't know why, but he's the one I jinx the most out of this. You know, Devin Moran is racing, Hudson O'Neill. Man, it's just so craziness. It's amazing. Kyle Bronson, Tanner English. We got regional guys coming in, people that, most of y'all wouldn't know, but Pennsylvania's own, Indiana, Pennsylvania's Greg Satterly is going to be there, which is awesome. Joseph Joyner, who is from Milton, Florida, is going to be there as well. And there's a whole slew of drivers that are making their debut in the World 100. I mean, there's a lot. I'm just throwing down this list, and there's so much crazy. I don't know. It's going to be amazing. We got Matt Shepherd, who is, if anybody is a Big Block Modified fan, they know who Matt Shepherd is. He's, from the Northeast Big Block Modifieds World Tour. He entered the World 100 under Nice Motorsports.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's interesting.
Nice Motorsports. Oh, they have a late model. That's what Watermelon Man's been doing for fun.
Oh.
Is racing late models. Yeah, they talked to him about it during Darlington, and he made a comment about it. So, yeah. We got all kinds of crazy late World 100. It is legitimately the best, I wish I could be there.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing I never got to do, was go to World 100. Because, unfortunately, World 100 falls on what? Tuscarora 50 weekend. And I have more clients that were sprint car drivers than I did late model drivers. Which, yes, I know it doesn't make any sense, does it? I'm the biggest late model, groupie in the world. But I worked more with sprint car drivers. Why? Because late model drivers can just be so dramatic. have you seen a late model driver fight before?
No.
Yeah, I have. I've tried to pull one apart before, and it doesn't work. Sprint car drivers are just, they literally, one punch and somebody's done. Late model drivers, it's the opposite. But yeah, so World 100 is going to be fun. I can't wait. I'm going to try to follow it as much as I can this weekend. I should be able to. I don't have a life on the weekends other than sports anyway and dealing with you. That's my biggest weekend hurdle is what has Pete done now? Usually. But, or Jeremy, for that matter. And, I can't believe he's missing the show. He might find himself in the penalty box just because he decided to go to a concert on a Thursday night. Who does that?
I did see that the where were they at when Carson Macedo flipped and got knocked unconscious in his car and it caught on fire. I did see
I remember that.
I believe it was Brad Sweet, Giovanni Scalzi, and whatever track they were at. I can't remember what track they were at now. Something to do with Pocono Safety Award. They were nominated, and they got some award.
The drivers were?
Brad Sweet, Giovanni Scalzi.
So the drivers were awarded the award, correct? That came
those,
to his aid first, right?
Yeah, those two drivers
and the track safety crew. I'm sorry, but the track safety crew deserves nothing. They took entirely too long to get to him. This is the problem with these freaking tracks.
Oh, see, this article made it sound like they were right there as well.
They weren't.
Oh. Well, but Brad Sweet and Giovanni Scalzi are definitely also getting recognized for getting out and helping Carson Macedo as soon as it happened, because they did say
he was screaming at the track officials to get to him.
He was unconscious.
He was
and
the car was on fire. Yeah,
right.
It's a worst fucking nightmare for
a
driver's family.
He did have several burns and his ribs and everything, but. Yeah, I did see an article. I forget where I saw it now. But those two drivers, Brad Sweet and Giovanni Scalzi, who were the first two drivers there to help. I believe it was those two.
Mm-hmm. Danny Dietrich, I think, was there too. So, I mean, but yeah, no, Brad Sweet was definitely there because Brad Sweet was yelling at the track officials to get to him because the car was on fire and he was unconscious.
Oh,
yeah. This is a problem. I will forever have issues with how fast it takes track personnel to get to somebody. It doesn't matter the level of racing. I don't really give a shit if it's NASCAR or if we're at the honky-tonk track in a two-bit town in Alabama. It shouldn't take nobody more than 30 seconds to get to you. It should not. I don't care. There should be enough safety the whole way around that damn track to get to you in a record amount of time.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. That shit is so combustible, it does not matter what it is. It is combustible. It will light, the shit will light, and it's near impossible to put out. And those flame-retarded suits are only flame-retarded for so long. I have a friend that caught on fire at Sealands Grove. I am telling you, it was the second scariest thing I have witnessed in a racetrack. Is watching your friend almost burn alive because somebody could not get to them fast enough. And we had to host three fundraisers to help him with medical bills and stuff. I will never forget that. I have a serious... you can't preach it enough. I'm sorry, but you just can't. I'll give them credit. They got to Ryan Newman in record time during the Daytona wreck and shit. But... it should be that way all the time. It just should be that way all the time.
Yep.
I need to not talk about it.
So we will take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will do the custom swag sublimation penalty box. We will get that.
After that, can we do the ballsiest person after that?
Sure, we can do that as well.
I want to be mean, and then I want to be nice.
Okay, so you want to be like a Sour Patch Kid. All right, so we'll do
your favorite thing in the world. I know. You love act like this.
We'll do the penalty box after the break. Then we'll talk NASCAR. We'll talk fantasy football and NASCAR after all of that as well. So keep it tuned right here, the Fast Lane Sports Show, presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Thank you to Rachel Chase and Apparel for bringing us Talking Dirty each and every week. You can go to racerchaseandapparel.com. Check out Amanda's got a great line of racetrack apparel over there. In fact, I believe she's still having a sale. If you go to her Facebook page, she's trying to get rid of some old inventory. to bring in some new inventory. So go there and check out some of the sales that they have going on right now. We will be right back after this break. Keep it tuned right here.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
.357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
Welcome back to the show. This is Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. Oh, that guy should be put in the penalty box right there. This is our custom swag sublimation penalty box sounder. What the heck? Just when I thought the Lions were doing good, this is the part of the show where Christina takes the knucklehead of the week from the sports world and throws them, they, all of whoever, into the penalty box. And I'll tell you what, Chiefs defense might end up there here in a little bit. It's all yours, Christina. Take it away.
Well, we're going to go. Jeremy did make a pick.
Ooh,
and I don't even know what the hell this is for. So, but Jeremy's throwing you into the penalty box. This has to do with high school football. That's all I'm going to say. Because I don't understand. But y'all in high school football, you get a little crazy. I thought we did in Pennsylvania, but no, you guys take the cake. You win. You blew up my phone for 45 minutes last night. I did not understand anything that was going on. And I told Jeremy if he didn't stop acting like a child, he was going to be in penalty box. And yet he proceeded to do that. And no, we're going to put the Lions offense in the penalty box for a turnover.
Jeez.
So close. How does this happen? Oh, that's terrible. Oop, boop. Comes right out right before he's in the end zone.
Football must be made of soap.
Yeah, so the Chiefs defense gets a pass. That's a whoop. That's what that was. So, yeah. Okay. So, Jeremy put you in the penalty box. You can say you put Jeremy in the penalty box. He was acting like a child last night. Guys were just disturbing the shit out of me for 45 minutes straight with your all capital letters high school football crap. God, you two are like literally children. I'm so glad I'm in Florida, because if I was anywhere near both of you at that time, I would have slapped both of you at the same damn time. Just saying. Anyway. So that, you're so terrible. Your fucking little evil laugh kills me. But we're going to go to NASCAR. It's a perfect segue to everything we're going to talk about. Okay. I need to mentally prepare myself for this one before I get off the deep end. I don't understand why we block on the freaking straightaway in the middle of a damn race. Not the end, not the final lap, and sure as hell not on the goddamn straightaway. It's the stupidest freaking move I've ever seen somebody do in my entire life. Well, I've seen a lot of them. This is starting to be like a repeating factor that I say this every week, that somebody does something incredibly and astronomically stupid. And I didn't even have Suarez in my lineup this past week, and I was still pissed off. I don't understand what Alex Bowman was thinking. I don't know. Maybe he got bumped in the head a little too hard when he took the freaking sprint car wreck. I don't understand. Literally, you blocked a man three damn times on the straightaway, and then you get hooked in, well, I mean, you came up on him. I don't understand where you thought Suarez was. You were clear. You clearly were not clear. You set off a damn chain reaction, and then you act like it's somebody else's fault. What the hell were you blocking on a straightaway for? Literally took out Suarez and a couple other guys for your stupidity. So, Alex Bowman, I love your dog, but I hate you, and you're going to be in the penalty box this week. Because you're just dumb.
Such
dumb as hell.
Language.
That was not strong language. You know I have said far worse on this show. Way worse. I don't understand. Just don't physically understand, or mentally. I don't get it. You saw the video. So for you guys that don't understand, Pete and Jeremy got a video of my TV replaying it. I should have just been talking to you guys while I was videoing it, so you could just hear the pleasure in my voice when it happened in real fucking time. Granted, it's a week later, and I'm still pissed off about it. And I don't understand. He totally blamed Suarez. What the hell did you expect Suarez to do? He was faster than you, and why couldn't he just go around you? Why do you have to block on that damn straightaway? What stupidity. Neither one of you are battling for a championship. And neither one could make it there. I just don't understand. I don't get it. So, yeah, that's it. Very mild penalty box. High frustration. I don't know. Maybe I should just throw the NFL in there. Why is Joe Burrow's got goddamn $300 million contract? Jesus.
And $200 of it's guaranteed.
So weird. It's crazy. But anyway, yeah. Yep. You want to hear the ballsiest player of the week now?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because we definitely don't have music for that. But it's going to go to Ryan Preece.
Oh, yes.
Now, mind you, he's not the only driver to race, you know, after having blood vessels break in his eye. I have seen it multiple times, and usually you see it in dirt racing more than you would, like, stock car racing. So, and he's physically said that on air. I'm just baffled at the fact that that's the only thing that was wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is he, like, made of fucking carbonite or some shit? I don't understand. He literally took probably one of the worst modern-day flips I have seen in a NASCAR race. This car was supposed to prohibit this shit from happening, correct? Clearly did not prohibit nothing from happening. That shit was crazy, to be honest. I still don't understand how the car flipped the opposite direction from when it was originally flipping. I get fucking possessed or some shit. But Ryan Preece missed nothing. No racing, nothing, not a week, nothing, and race granted, he didn't do the greatest this week at Darlington, but, I mean, that team's had a hard year in general. Are you telling me we have a literally arrived Fitzpatrick commercial with some random football players? I don't know who they are. Oh, that's Kittle. Never mind. I know who that is. That was the fucking weirdest commercial I've ever seen in my life. But okay. So, yes, Ryan Preece gets ballsiest player of the – well, ballsiest racer of the week. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that was definitely a crazy flip. Crazy flip.
That whole sequence of events was crazy. And the fact then that they – it took them a while to get him out of the car. But then he gets to the hospital and there's seriously nothing wrong? I mean, I'm glad there's nothing wrong, but it's like it defies all things that should be what happened.
Yeah.
If, in all honesty. But I digress. Let's talk about it, I guess. This NASCAR crap. We had our first playoff race of the year.
We did. We had our
what the hell was that?
First race of the playoffs. For NASCAR, we were at Darlington, and Kyle Larson gets the win, secures his spot into the round of 12. So Kyle Larson will be moving on. Good news for many of the people in our league who took Kyle Larson. There were some people who have Kyle Larson on their team, and they didn't use Kyle Larson this race, so they did not get the points. Craig did not even submit a lineup, so he didn't get any points for this race. And then I believe Chad just gave up a couple weeks ago. But the people who are in it, but Craig did submit a lineup for this week. So he is back. He gave a lineup for this week.
I did not submit my lineup yet.
Not yet. You did not. The race is Sunday though, so we got time. But maximum points scored this week was Tasha. I'm going through my notes here. 154. Yeah. Tasha scored the most points this weekend. She scored 155.5 points. She had Kozlowski, Byron, and Larson. Obviously, Larson got the win. And then Elliott, she went with Chase Elliott, and he got 16.5. A lot of people with Chase Elliott on their lineup. Poor Lonnie had the least amount of points. He used Bowman. I believe he was the only person. No, there was somebody else who used Bowman. Anthony used Bowman. But Lonnie got the least amount of points this weekend. Felt bad. He only had 77 points. He had Truex and Bell and Bowman in his lineup, and those guys did not do very well.
No. This week was like the week of – this was the week of playoff drivers throwing shit to the wind. I don't know what happened. Everybody had a fucking problem. Denny Hamlin needs to get his shit together. He all but was in the penalty box. This fucker cost me a bunch of points. Couldn't stay up front. I don't understand what happened. I don't get it. Don't get it at all.
A lot of people did go with Truex as well. So he had a not too good start to the playoff. No, you didn't. You don't even have Truex on your team. So
no,
you did not
I didn't think so.
Ty.
I honestly
and
forget
Debbie,
sometimes who's on my team, if I'm being honest with you.
Ty and Debbie.
That's what you're for.
They tied. They had the second most points this weekend. They had 148.5 points. And it's funny because they used totally different lineup. I guess not totally different. They each had Larson. They each had Larson. That was it. Larson and Elliott. Ty had Byron and Bush, and Debbie had Hamlin and Blaney. But they both got the same amount of points. So... congrats, though, to Tasha for having high score of the week. It did help her in the standings quite a bit, though. Let me get those pulled up for you here real quick. So Ty, with the points that he scored, Rodney came into the playoffs leading. He had 6 wins on the season. But Ty takes over the points standings now in the playoffs. He has 273.5 points. He has 6 wins on the year. Tasha moves up to second at 265.5 points, 3 wins on the year. Rodney still has the most wins of the season, though, because he also had Larson on his team this weekend. But he has 7 wins now on the year. Rodney in third. Debbie moves up to fourth. She got a win. Matt to fifth. Wiley is in sixth. Chris is in seventh. I'm in eighth. Timmy is in ninth. And Frank rounds out the top 10. Andrew finally getting a win this year. He is in 11th. He had Larson on his team, so he finally picks up a win this season, leaving only Aaron and Craig now winless in our league, but there is still some time. So the top 11 all had Larson on their team, all got wins, and has kind of separated the field now with Tristan, Christina, Jeremy, Charlie, Anthony, Nick, Aaron, Lonnie, Chad, and Craig from 12th to 21st. But yeah, now we head to Kansas, and people are starting to get their lineups in so far. So heading to Kansas, though, this week, and then where are we at? Week 3, I don't remember. Bristol? Is Bristol in the first round? I can't remember. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Bristol?
Yeah, it's the cutoff race, I believe.
Yes.
Is it not?
Round of 16. Because
we're in
Bristol.
Kansas.
Yep,
we're
it's Kansas,
Kansas this week,
and then
so
Bristol.
Yes.
Yep.
I don't even know who to pick for Kansas.
I don't
know.
Who
are my picks again?
It's a cookie cutter racetrack. So
I don't know. Do I bench LaJoy for Suarez to see if Suarez gets revenge? Because if he gets revenge, then he's gonna fuck me over with points. If I keep going with old trusty LaJoy, I'm at least gonna get a few points because you know he has yet to get a DNF.
But you gotta look at Kansas as the intermediate track. That is a safe.
Kansas.
It's a safe track. It's not high speed. It's not a super speedway. It's not a short track. So you're going to have drivers like Suarez, maybe Kyle Busch, maybe even Tyler Reddick, Hamlin Truex. Maybe these drivers are going to be looking at Kansas as a rebound, either getting maximum amount of points as they can, or getting a win at Kansas, because we just talked about it. We're going to Bristol for the cutoff. If you're not in the top 12 after Bristol, you're out of the playoffs. So I think a lot of drivers are going to be looking at Kansas as that safe speedway where you don't have to worry about the big one. It's not a very accident-prone race or racetrack. It's not that short track. It's not, white knuckle Bristol or Martinsville type of a track. It's not a road course. So I think you're going to have drivers like, Suarez is not in the playoffs, so he really has nothing to lose. But some of these other playoff drivers that might be near the cutoff line, they might be looking at Kansas as a maximum points type of race, to where, you know, like Kevin Harvick, if you got Kevin Harvick on your team, Christopher Bell, Joey Logano, some of these guys that are just barely above the cut line, they might be looking at Kansas as either we need to win here or we need to play a safe race and finish clean and at least be up front at the checker flag to get as many points as possible. So you got to look at Kansas like that, because you go to Bristol and it's all hell breaks loose. drivers wrecking people for a win just to move on. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of crazy shit going on.
I mean, Kyle Larson is the only one safe these next 2 weeks. He's got absolutely zero pressure. He could.
None of these guys can have, like, well, yeah, he could fuck up and have two DNFs. It's not going to matter. He's already through.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly what he could do. Now, the rest of these guys, I don't know if, like, everything got to them. Playoff jitters, what it was, I have no idea. Almost every single one of them had a problem. It's so weird. I don't think we've ever seen that many playoff drivers in one race have that many problems.
I would look at, like, if I had Byron on my team, I would probably use Byron, because I feel like William Byron would like to get a win to secure himself so that he could go into Bristol without any pressure, but he's 45 points above the cut line. I could see William Byron kind of going into this race, get the car set up to win. But if we can't win, let's at least have a top five and go into Bristol 90 points above the cut line, to where if we get wrecked halfway through Bristol and we get a DNF, we're in on points. So I could almost see, like, William Byron, Tyler Reddick, Chris Buescher having that mindset where they're 30, 45 points above the cut line and going into Kansas, like, let's set up to win. Obviously, we want to win every week, so we're going to go in to win. But if we can't win, let's at least have a car good enough to be a top five and get as many points as possible and point our way into the next round so that Bristol isn't a must-win situation like you're going to have down here with Kevin Harvick or Christopher Bell or Joey Logano after Kansas. So it's gonna make for an interesting race, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, I just feel like Bristol's gonna be a shit show, because nothing's gonna happen in Kansas. Boring as fuck. I don't even know why Kansas is in the playoffs. I don't understand. So I don't know. We'll see. I got a lot of ground to make up because I fell pretty hard. Thank God I have all those wins to fall back on.
Yeah. We've got somebody on hold on the Barbasol Shave phone lines.
Oh, no. I'm
going
back
who,
on hold. You have fun.
I don't know who it is. Let's see who it is. Let's bring him on. Well,
hey,
welcome
Pete
to the show.
How's it going?
It's going.
I was just calling in to ask if you guys have heard what happened to Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I have. Who are we talking to real quick?
Oh, sorry. My name's Joe.
Joe, where are you from? Miami.
Miami.
All right.
Yep.
No,
I didn't hear. I'm just sorry.
Go ahead. What happened to Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
I heard he was diagnosed with ligma.
Oh, that sounds serious. I'm not sure what that is, but that sounds serious.
Oh, yeah. He ligma dick.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Christina, there you go. It sounds like we have a Dale Jr. Hater. Hey, thanks for the call. Anyway, Joe, I think that, you know, Jeremy might have put that guy up to that. So,
there's no one in Miami that knows who Dale Jr. is. I'm just saying.
That's funny. Oh, man. That was good. That was good. Hey, I appreciate all the calls.
I'm not even a Dale Jr. fan. I don't understand that.
Man, hey, you know, hopefully Dale Jr. gets better. We'll be praying for him. So,
oh, my God. Stop it.
So, no, we got through the win at Darlington. Kyle Larson is securely into the next round, the round of 12. William Byron is second in the playoff standings, followed by Tyler Reddick, Chris Buescher, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, who is still also looking for his first win of the year, Ryan Blaney, Ross Chastain, Joey Logano, Christopher Bell. That's your top 12 as of right now after Darlington. Below the cut line is Bubba Wallace, Kevin Harvick, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Michael McDowell. These drivers are in a fight for their life to get into the next round to continue their championship dreams. So we will see how Kansas goes. So that's a look at the fantasy league. That's a look at the fantasy league and also the NASCAR Cup Series schedule and standings. Oh my goodness. So now the NFL has kicked off week one.
Literally right now, as we speak.
As we speak, the Chiefs just scored again, so they are up 14-7 now on Detroit. I'll tell you what, Christina,
I expected a blowout by now.
I did too. I expected Kansas City.
Why is Kelce not playing?
He
I've been waiting to ask this
knee.
Since 8 o'clock.
He has a knee injury. He was slated to not play this game yesterday, I believe. So
I'm an idiot.
I'm assuming that Kansas City thought, you know what, let's just sit you out this game. It's Detroit. But Detroit showed up. I'll tell you what, this first half, they have not made it easy on Kansas City. And we have a couple guys in the league, in the Toity Bowl League, that went with the Lions. Charlie and James Nate both went with the Lions for this first game. So those guys, I think they know something we must not, because Detroit has been giving Kansas City a game so far.
Sort of. They've been giving the ball away too. I mean,
well,
I don't know what Jared Goff.
They could be. I mean, Detroit could be up 14-7 right now.
I mean, yeah, it could be
there.
Going both ways. Yeah, I'm excited. Football's back.
Yeah.
College football was back on Saturday. I literally sat my ass in my living room, like, you know, like all the boys do, and watched nothing but college football all day long. Well, that is until the NASCAR race came on. Then I had NASCAR on, and yeah, but I watched part of the Ohio State game, which, you know, for the cockiest school in the you know, I hate Ohio State. Clearly, I do. And the fact that you and I are going to have words later.
They had trouble with Indiana, and they dropped them.
Indiana's not a bad team. That's what people need to realize. Indiana's not a bad team. I think the Big Ten has some good teams that are not Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State. That's where people get lackadaisical in their play calling and everything else. So Ohio State went in there like they always do, with a hot head, thinking they were going to win. And, I mean, I just don't know. I don't like them.
No, Indiana might not be a bad team, but it's Indiana. They should not have given Ohio State fits the way that Ohio State.
No,
I mean, Ohio State
should have
dropped
have the fit.
40 or 50 points on Indiana. Let's be honest. They should have.
I mean,
but, you know, they
maybe,
didn't.
But
and
I'm
Ohio
glad
State
they didn't.
Paid for it. They dropped in the rankings. So
they're still
ahead
of Penn State, though.
I
think it's only by two. I think they're what, fifth? They're ranked fifth, right?
Second.
Are they ranked fifth?
Ohio State is, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
and
Ohio
then,
State is fifth, Penn State is seventh. Yeah. Notre Dame moved up to 10th.
I guess we can talk about that.
We'll see. I mean, Ohio State's got Youngstown this weekend, so they'll probably put up 50 or 60 this weekend against Youngstown, because that would be like Ohio State playing a high school team. What do we got? What else we got? We got Notre Dame at NC State. Oh, that should be a blowout. Colorado. Let's talk about Colorado putting it to TCU, huh? Mr. Primetime.
Yeah, we just fueled his ego even more.
Mr. Primetime.
You know?
Putting it down and getting Colorado in the top 25 now. They'll be at home against Nebraska this weekend. Kansas State at home against Troy. They're 15th. Number 5, Ohio State, home against Youngstown State. Penn State is at home against Delaware. Georgia's at home against Ball State. Utah on the road to Baylor. Clemson. Clemson. What happened to Clemson? Getting beat by Duke. They're at home this weekend.
Wait, they lost to Duke?
They did. They lost to Duke.
I mean,
Michigan is at home against UNLV this weekend. What else we got? Tennessee is at home against Austin, PA. Or however you say it. You got number 11, Texas. On the road to number 3, Alabama. I believe that's the only game that features two ranked teams against each other. Last weekend we had that with Florida. Florida State taking on number 5, LSU. That game was in Florida, and Florida State stuck it to LSU, beating them 45-24. That's kind of hurt LSU quite a bit. In fact, that dropped LSU down to 14th. So Ohio State really has nothing to complain about. They dropped a couple spots, but I mean, LSU.
Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy though.
LSU gets their first loss of the season and to a top 10 ranked team and drops all the way to 14th. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. See if LSU can rebound from that. But right now your top 5 in college football is Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State is your top 5. Top 10, you've got USC, Penn State, Washington, Tennessee, and Notre Dame. So some big games again this weekend to keep an eye on. Week 2 of college football is in full swing. Games start at noon. Notre Dame, NC State on ABC. Then you got Colorado on Fox, Kansas State, FS1, and then all your ESPNs and college football stations for your local football games. So, Christina, lots of sports going on. College football, NFL getting started right now. Halftime in Kansas City. 14-7 Chiefs over the Lions right now. So that game, Kansas City will get the second half kickoff, so they'll take possession when they come back out of halftime. NASCAR in the playoffs, preseason hockey getting ready to start. So we've got MLB is coming down to the wire with playoffs as well. So a lot of sports going on, Christina, a lot to keep track of, not just on the weekend, but during the week as well. Plus dirt racing and small town short track racing. This Saturday, if you're free and don't have any plans, head over to the Laurel Highlands area of Western Pennsylvania and go check out Championship Night at Jennerstown. So Jennerstown is having their championship night this Saturday. Go check that out. We talked about Wayne County last week. They crowned all of their champions. They had the Pete Jacobs Memorial Race this past Sunday. So a lot of your small town short tracks are wrapping up their seasons as well. So a lot of sports to be had. Just depends on what you like. If you like it all, your head is probably spinning right now. Guarantee it.
Well, I mean, if you're like me, then yeah, that's kind of what we do. I mean, that's what I do all the time, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, storm of life. I mean.
So we will be back on air next Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Yo, wait, hold on. You told me Thursday. Now, which is it? You're killing me, Smalls.
I will let you know for sure tomorrow, but I'm thinking it's going to be next Wednesday. I'm going to try to avoid the Thursday night interference with football. Although, it's, you know, it's not bad watching football while we do the show. That's not been too bad, but no.
I mean, unless
we will
you're me and I can't control my mouth.
We will shoot for Wednesday, but yes, I will let you know for sure tomorrow.
Please do, so I know what the hell I'm doing.
I will let you know.
I think I ordered enough food for like six people tonight because I just was like, I ordered some pizzas and a stromboli, and I got looked at like I was crazy. And I'm like, well, I mean, I do have a radio show. I don't know what I want to eat, and I mean, it's just me. I'm crazy. The Pete can tell you. I can't function like a regular human being. I don't even think I'm a regular human being. I mean, I think you can attest to this. I'm not normal. By far, not normal. So, yeah, I mean, this is my routine. My week is based around Pete's work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
There's no lie.
Mm-hmm.
There's no lie. I literally have my entire life during the week revolved around Pete's work schedule. I'm the only way he knows what's going on in racing sometimes, even though you fools never freaking answer me half the time. You neglect me. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Some days.
Oh, I know. Quick shout out. Real quick, Stark County residents, if you're listening and you need an HVAC company, whether it's for just regular maintenance of your furnace, I know it's early to be talking about it, but we will be coming into Northeastern Ohio winter soon.
Just come to Florida.
It's a good idea to have your furnace checked before the cold weather hits. That way you know it's running great. Or maybe you need your air conditioner looked at. Or maybe you just need a service tech. Or you want to get a yearly service contract to have your equipment maintenance every year to avoid any issues. Or maybe you need an all-new system anyway. If you're in the Stark County area, be sure to look up Comfort Pro Heating and Cooling. They are in Stark County. They do heating, ventilating, air conditioning services. They are located in Maslin. You can find them on Facebook. Their phone number is 330-809-1060. I am fortunate enough that I have done heating and cooling. I did for about 10 years.
You were working on your air conditioner today, were you not?
I was. I had to fix my air conditioner. I woke up this morning and the wife said, the air conditioner is not working. And I was like, dang it. So I went outside.
Yo, if those words ever were said in my house,
so
I was freaking panicked. You're too far away to help me.
I go outside, and sure enough, the outdoor unit's not running, and I knew exactly what it was. As soon as I heard it, I took off the door, and the capacitor was popped. So I had to run to Granger and get me a capacitor, $30, fixed it, got her running, got the house cooled back down. So, but not everybody is fortunate enough to have done heating and cooling in their past. So if you need an HVAC professional, though, go check out Comfort Pro Heating and Cooling in Maslin. Get their phone number up here again. Again, their phone number is 330-809-1060. You can email them, gocomfortpro@gmail.com. Their website is gocomfortpro.com. comfortpro.com, and you can also find them by searching Comfort Pro Heating and Cooling on Facebook as well. So that is your HVAC shout out for this weekend. Christina, thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors, Barbasol, of course, for the Barbasol Shea phone lines that are open the entire show. Thank you to Joe in Miami for calling us and letting us know about Dale Jr.'s unfortunate.
Wasn't Jeremy.
I don't know who it was. 357 Woodworks Studios, of course, every weekend. That is where we are coming to you live from. Hardcore Fishing Game, Christina. Let's talk about Chuck over there at Hardcore Fishing Game. Great guy. Got to meet him a couple years ago when we were down in Panama City Beach. Great guy. Him and Megan, Morgan. I believe it's Morgan. Yeah, Morgan.
Yeah,
him and Morgan.
She's amazing.
They were down there at the same time. They were moving to Panama City Beach. So I got to meet them. Great people over there. They have an awesome website as well.
Their shit's amazing. I love my hat and everything. And I've loved everything Chuck has done. I feel like we've supported each other I don't know. How long was I doing the show when I met Chuck and the boys? I think we've been doing the show for maybe 5 years at the point, maybe 4 years when the boys came into my life. I mean, I don't even know how they came into my life, if I'm being honest. I can't remember. I feel like it was this weird whirlwind thing that happened via Twitter, when Twitter was cool and you could interact with people and it was like not weird and like crazy things in your DMs, let's be honest. But now I'm afraid to open my DMs when I go there. I don't even know how it happened. I got hooked up with some friends from North Carolina who introduced me to Kyle Turner.
Mm-hmm.
We were attached at the hip for the longest time. Me and Kyle were, with stuff. And then I just turned into, we did my one show together. And Kyle was using it, because he was going to school for, media stuff and whatnot, even though being a tire changer in NASCAR, it's not endgame for a lot of these guys to be a tire changer forever. I mean, that's all there is to it. It doesn't always happen that it's your end life goal, which it was never Kyle's end life goal. Just happened to stumble upon it, and he was good at it. And then, so since I knew Kyle's at MWR at the time. No, we were at Turner. He was at Turner at the time. No, I don't remember where he was exactly. I don't know. We were bounced around. I say we because I literally went everywhere with these guys. I feel like an entourage or some short shit. And it turned into that. North Carolina that week, let me tell you, the stories I could tell are not PG-13. But... So when Kyle went to MWR, Chuck was at MWR. So I met Chuck and Kyle through Kyle. I already knew Kyle at the time. And then from there, Chuck and I, Chuck was always with us then because, they both were on MWR together. Yes, we were at MWR when everything went down. Yes. There for the arm twitch incident. We don't need to keep talking about it. It happened. Kind of is why MWR doesn't exist anymore. Did the whole Furniture Row thing. For those folks who don't know, Kyle was on Furniture Row when Truex was at Furniture Row. That was fun. Did that. Then it turned into, so being with Chuck went to Penske. Now you see how I got to tour Penske. inside and out. You got to know somebody in the organization. So since I knew Chuck, Chuck got me in at Penske for some stuff, which was fun. And, I mean, Chuck never faltered, neither did Kyle, you know, for the longest time. And then it was cool because I still talk to them pretty much on a regular basis, most of them. And, you know, Chuck, ironically enough, I moved to Florida and I still see him. We ended up together at Homestead when we did Homestead Weekend for Championship Weekend. We ended up with Chuck anyway because, for those that don't know, Chuck's brother, his younger brother, is with Nice Motorsports. So when they're talking to Cody Efall, that is Chuck's little brother, actually. Ironically enough. So for those folks that don't know the, you know, the ins and outs of it. So Nice Motorsports, which is where we were in the pits during the truck championship. We were in the Nice Motorsports pit hall or pit area and everything with Chuck and Morgan and them. And, you know, Chuck did the sign, the neon signs you see on pit road. Chuck had a sign business in Morrisville, North Carolina, did that, always was a part of that. He was always done all kinds of stuff, the pit school, the guns. I mean, hell, he gave me Blake, his son, Blaine, his brand new golf clubs to use. Guys, I don't think I ever did mini putt-putt my entire existence, and these boys put me in a goddamn golf tournament with them. You don't understand. You all know how NASCAR drivers are with golf, right? They talk about it a lot. Like Denny Hamlin and them, they all do that. Well, it's not just them. Their pit crews are in it just as much.
Yeah.
And you don't understand how serious it gets. It was literally a charity tournament. A charity tournament, folks. This is not supposed to be taken so seriously. But then these fools hand me, I'm not even going to tell you how expensive these golf clubs were. I was so petrified to even touch one. They were brand new. He's like, Kyle and them are getting them out. And I was like, I thought Chuck was, well, and Chuck met us there. Chuck wasn't part of the tournament, but he was there. And he's like, oh, Blaine said you could use his golf club. Like, okay, but these look brand new. He's like, they are. I said, what? So, yeah, Blaine is like, just use them. I'm like, oh, my God. I watched Nick O'Dell, who, you know Nick. You've heard him on the show plenty of times. He's the character, okay? He's the crazy one of the group. And he's won, he was with Kyle Busch for, like, what? Almost the entire time we ran the show. Very one of the most longstanding crew members to be with Kyle Busch at Joe Gibbs Racing. Well, then he got... they decide to not re-sign a lot of those guys. But it doesn't matter. He's over at Hendrix winning championships now. So I watched him literally throw a $1,500 golf club about 100 feet into the woods during a charity golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Charity. Not fucking, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. But I'm not going to lie to you. That was a great week. Some stories I cannot say on air. It's not good to say. We also had My Arm Candy there with us. Which, when you have the ex, you know, the ex-military guy with you the entire time, you're kind of like, beard. I don't know why. I mean, he was big, but I guess because he was a sniper, when the military people were afraid of him. But he was best friends with all the guys, and he was on a pit crew too. But no, Chuck has always been great.
Yep.
He's my favorite.
we got Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com. Check out their great line of apparel. Customized apparel. You can get customized apparel, outdoor apparel, or you can just shop from their great line of hunting, fishing, or if you're just going to hang out at the beach and you need some beach attire, you can do that as well. You can check out 357 Woodworks on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. What else we got? Custom Swag Sublimation. You can check them out on Facebook as well. Margazano Designs on Facebook. Also, so check out all of our great sponsors. We appreciate all of them. For the Fantasy Football League this year, I am going to do every week when I post the games, I'm going to post a bonus pick as well. Every week, if you get the bonus pick correct, you will get a ticket put in a basket. At the end of the regular NFL season, I'm going to draw one of those tickets. Whoever's name I draw will win the basket, and I'm going to be putting stuff in this basket all year. Fastlane merchandise, Barbasol merchandise, and we'll have some custom stuff made. We'll see if we can get with some of our other sponsors and get some other stuff donated to the basket as well. Maybe even get some gift cards put in there for people also. So we've got that going on. We'll have another giveaway coming up here shortly as well. We'll make that announcement also. So lots of stuff coming up. NASCAR playoffs, NFL starting, college football starting. We got a lot going on. We will be busy probably till the end of the year. So I'm excited. Christine will be back next week. Like I said, most likely it will be Wednesday. So we'll be back here next Wednesday.
All right. Well, y'all enjoy the rest of the week. There's lots of football, racing. Get ready. We got hockey in a couple weeks. It's just going to be a whirlwind of amazing sports to be had. And if you're at World 100, I envy you. Enjoy the late model racing. If you're at the Tuscarora 50 or the Juniata County Fair this weekend, eat a freaking pretzel for me. Eat every fair food imaginable, because that's exactly what needs to happen. So without that, I bless you all. Have a great night. Pete, I will talk to you in probably 15 minutes, because that's about as long as we can stay away from talking to each other.
Yeah. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Peace out.
All right. That was Christina, my co-host. Hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week right here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. As always, coming to you live from the 357 Woodwork Studios. Thank you to Hardcore Fishing Game, Racer Chasing Apparel, Custom Swag Sublimation, 357 Woodworks, Barbasol, Margazon Designs. Who else am I forgetting? Comfort Pro, Heating and Cooling. Everybody who is involved with the show, we thank you, and thank you to listeners. Until next week, have a good rest of your week. For Christina, of course, I'm your host, Pete. See ya!